Welcome to this podcast from St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We hope you consider hitting like or subscribe. We hope you will share this audio with your friends and neighbors, help others know about our inclusive, theologically progressive community of faith. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can make a gift at stmichaelsabq.org.
In the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, amen. Please be seated. On the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, it seems fitting to talk about interruptions. No one interrupts in Scripture more than the angels. Simone recently noticed in a sermon that when an angel arrives in the Bible and says, "Be not afraid," we are suddenly way more afraid than we were before. Angels often arrive with unexpected news. Gabriel's arrival surely interrupted Mary. Angels often interrupt. And I've been thinking a great deal about interruptions in recent weeks. Interruption can be a tricky word. We're told from the time we're little kids not to interrupt. We're working on interruptions at my house right now. Silas is about to turn 7, and he can get so eager to share. We're learning not to interrupt when adults are trying to talk to one another or to talk on the phone. And if I'm honest, I'm also working on my own interruptions. I also get so eager to share a thought or an idea, but that's not the kind of interruption I've been thinking about in preparation for Michaelmas. Not the rude interruption, not talking over someone. You see, I believe there are interruptions in life that can be beautiful, even spiritual. Like that final movement in Beethoven's 9th Symphony, the ode to joy that bursts out and changes the whole sound. There are interruptions that can reshape a conversation, even reshape a life. And God can be found in those beautiful interruptions. When we are able to interrupt the forces of negativity, when we are able to interrupt forces of hopelessness, when we are able to interrupt our negative self-talk, when we're able to intervene and to do so with deep integrity, with joy, with love, with beauty, to quote President Lincoln, that is the work of the better angels of our nature. That is the work of faith. And we need some interruption in this world, don't we? A couple weeks ago in my sermon, I poked a bear. In the sermon 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that I did not agree with Charlie Kirk. I found much of Kirk's rhetoric deeply troubling. And I said Charlie Kirk did not deserve to become a victim of America's gun violence epidemic. Now, in the congregation, I saw mostly nodding heads, a lot of agreement. It wasn't in the congregation that I poked the bear. The bear appeared when we posted a clip of that sermon online. Thousands of comments flooded in. For disagreeing with Charlie Kirk, I was accused of not knowing Christianity, of being a false prophet, and worse. And I didn't respond to those comments with one exception. Because, you see, someone online claimed that we were using fake candles, AI generated. I could not let that stand. I wrote simply, "Not fake, period. Beeswax, period." Call me a false prophet all you want, but don't insult our aesthetics. I raise the question of the comments online not to ask you to engage there, not for your sympathy, and definitely not for you to go into TikTok and try to defend your preacher. Stay out of those comments, trust me. I share what happened online because I think it's a microcosm of our whole society right now. As much as I tried to disengage, the toxicity in our current discourse, especially in our online discourse, has been very present for me in recent days. I've done my best to laugh it off, to ignore it, but truthfully, our society's brokenness is on full display every time we open our phones, isn't it? We all see it. We all feel it. So the question we need to ask today, on our feast day, is how does a person of faith respond? How does a person of faith, how does a Christian respond when the news is so bad? When it seems like the old dragon himself lives in the comment section? When simple disagreement is met with utter anger and violence, how do we sustain our faith? Our hope. I think it helps to take a lesson from the angels. If Christianity is worth anything, if the stories we gather to tell are worth anything, it is because our faith comes as an interruption. If our faith, if our spirituality is good for anything, it is for interrupting the voices that are out there sowing anger, division, and worse. Our faith is meant to be a beautiful interruption to all the ugliness, all the forces of darkness and pain. When the chorus of negativity is rising in our own minds, in the world around us, that is the moment to return to our stories, to return to our faith. That is the time to trust in divine interruption. So what does that kind of interruption look like? For Nathanael in today's gospel, it looked like letting go of his cynicism. Remember, in the moments before the portion of the gospel Jan read, Nathanael is talking to Philip, and he says that bias-motivated phrase in the Bible about Jesus, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" For Nathanael, it sounded like the voice of Jesus teasing him after he calls him master, teacher, king. Jesus teases him and says, "You will see greater things than these. You will see angels ascending and descending if you keep your eyes open, Nathanael. If you let go of your cynicism, if you keep your heart open, and let go of that sense that you always need to be right. Let go of that insecurity and follow." For Jacob, it looked like a wild dream of angels on a ladder in a yet unknown land. Jacob, that old trickster, discovered sometimes the best adventures occur when we venture into unmarked territory, when we find ourselves out of our comfort zones, when we try the unexpected. Sometimes it is out in the wilderness where we can best encounter God and the wildness of God's dreams for us. Often God appears in the least familiar of places, in what seems like the least likely of moments. A divine interruption, a beautiful interruption, it looks like two young women choosing to be baptized. Aren't we supposed to be living in post-Christian days? And yet, here we are on our feast day with two young women deciding to be baptized, with more people coming to be baptized every year. In a world where we are so divided, it is quite the countercultural move to promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons. It is unexpected in our world to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to promise to respect the dignity of every human being. Living out our faith often looks like an interruption to the expectations of our society. A divine interruption can look like a couple dozen people gathering on a Monday morning early to sort out produce and protein into food boxes, showing up again the next day on Tuesday morning to feed their hungry neighbors. A faithful interruption looks like a church filled on a Thursday morning with people holding stillness together, finding a way to practice quieting the voices of outrage, to seek the still small voice of God. And the questions before us, my friends, is how will we continue to interrupt? How will our faith invite us to interrupt the anger, the vitriol, the hopelessness of our days? The angels come to tell us, be not afraid. And those words are important today. Be not afraid. Though politicians want you to be afraid so that you'll vote against the people they tell you to hate. Though massive corporations want you to be afraid so you will consume their product of the day. Though news organizations want you to be afraid so that you'll give them the likes and clicks and subscriptions that the algorithm demands. Though so much in our world is geared for fear, the work of faith asks us to use a different set of muscles, to let go of the constant serotonin high, to interrupt the cycles of fear. Be not afraid. Interrupt that fear. Interrupt the busyness, the sense of hurry. Interrupt the voices telling you to hate your enemy. Interrupt the voices telling you to hate yourself. Be not afraid. And you might just help your world to be a little less afraid too. Now, fear is a powerful motivator. If we were smart, we'd try to find some way to use fear to get you to sign up for a ministry later today. If our stewardship team really wanted to raise money for 2026, we would find a way to make you scared so you would give. But we're not in that business. Too much of the world is in that business. Michaelmas, the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, is our kickoff Sunday. It marks the start of our program year at the church. And I said in this week's e-noticias that today I had a proclamation to make. It sounds very fancy. It's not that fancy. But here it is. I proclaim that the theme for this year's programming at St. Michael's is this: acting faithfully in troubling times. A year of prophetic engagement. Acting faithfully in troubling times, a year of prophetic engagement. As you walk around the ministry fair, as you look at the inside of your bulletin with all the announcements, I hope you'll see that theme time and again. How do we act faithfully? How do we engage prophetically? In the coming weeks, we will invite you to support this church for 2026, but not out of fear, out of hope, out of the dreams of what we can do together to interrupt the cycles of fear. Today we do. We want you to walk over to the parish hall and to sign up to participate in a ministry or two, because we hope that our ministries point to a different way of engaging in troubling times. Because belonging in this community is a way of interrupting all of the forces of division and isolation. We want you to join in the work here because we proclaim by word and example the good news of love. The good news that the God we know through Jesus is a God of love. A God who cares that our neighbors are fed. A God who cares for immigrants and refugees. A God who will meet us in the quiet contemplative practice and in the active engagement for justice. We want you to join in the work here because we seek to act faithfully, prophetically, in troubling times. At the top of the sermon, I mentioned Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. As I was researching ahead of the sermon, I found that there's this iteration that happens with that movement. The Ode to Joy is so popular, but it's been played at some very key times. This is the tune that mothers of the disappeared sang outside the presidential palace of Chilean dictator Auguste Pinochet. The Ninth Symphony is what Leonard Bernstein chose to conduct to celebrate the reunification of Germany as the Berlin Wall fell to rubble. a chorus of 10,000 Japanese voices sang the Ode to Joy defiantly in the months following the 2011 tsunami. We need joy. We need love. In times that feel bleak, we need the beautiful interruptions. We need those interruptions in our very souls. My friends, the angels tell us that God's love comes as an interruption to all the hate, all the forces of division, all the anger. The angel announced to Mary, and the angels announced to the shepherds, and they announced to those of us who follow Jesus today that the story of Christianity is a story of God's loving interruption, God's willingness to walk with us, to disrupt all of the systems of violence and anger which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. May the angels continue to guide us as we seek to be a people interrupting for the sake of love. Amen.